His name this morning, count it a privilege to be in the house of God. Also, I want to extend a welcome to our visitors. Glad you could be here with us and sharing our worship service. For a message title this morning, I would like to talk about personal evangelism. It was good for me to study this. Some time ago, I asked somebody, what would you like to hear for a sermon? Sometimes we get something that is good for us personally, and this was. What am I doing for God as I relate to others on the job? You know, we have our church missionary efforts, and we can support, for example, the work in Honduras in a material way, and that's good, but that's not enough. What do we do for God when we relate to the ones around us on the job? And that's what I'd like to talk about today. I'm sure not standing up here with a lot of answers. There's no one certain way for personal evangelism to be done. It might work better, one personality might work better one way and one might work better another way. But God does, as we pray, and we should pray to be led in contact with people that are looking for a better way, God will work those details out, and he'll also take us outside of our comfort zone, and that's good for us. There's a lot of examples in the Bible of evangelism, and I want to look at some of these this morning. To start out, let's look at John 3:16. I think it's important when we study something like this, we go back to what Christ did and what his burden was, and when he came to earth, he came to save. This is a familiar verse for all of us. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So who isn't a candidate for God's word? And, you know, if we get to the place where this person's, in our mind, this person's gone too far, or that person's gone too far, then we need to go back and look at John 3:16 again, because the sacrifice that was sent and the blood that was shed was perfect blood. And God loved his Son in a perfect way. And so my sins and someone else's sins, for us, temptation to look at big sins and little sins. And there is some sins that have more of a reaping than others. But any sin separates from God. And I needed the blood of Jesus Christ as much as anybody in the world. And when we can come to rest with that, then we can be an effective witness. In our Sunday school discussion, we talked about false teachers. And one of the earmarks of a false teacher is what's in it for them. And we're an ambassador. And what an ambassador does is represents a different country. And that's why Paul said he was an ambassador for Christ. He was representing Jesus Christ. He wasn't representing the Apostle Paul. And we're not representing ourselves personally. So do we go out and say we're representing the Mennonites? And that's a good question. And I want to come across clear in this. I appreciate our church. And I appreciate the stands we have taken. I believe they're biblical stands. But when we go and we meet somebody on the street, to talk to them about a personal habit they have, without talking to them about the sacrifice that was made and the need of the blood to cleanse their life, we can put the cart in front of the horse really quick. In other words, when we meet someone who needs salvation, they need the sacrifice. And there is a lot of people out there who have this part right. It's not complicated to become a Christian. We kneel down at the foot of the cross, we give our sins to God, and He'll take them. That sacrifice will be covered. Where the road starts to fork is what happens then. In other words, as we take the sacrifice, then we become a servant of God. And then He says, you follow me and you do what I say. And we go on back to Matthew, in Matthew 5 through 7, it talks about morality. It talks about the issues of the world. It talks about how we deal with our brother, how we forgive, how serious it is to have an impure thought life. But all those things are after we receive the Word of God. And so let's be careful as we go and relate to the world that we start with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we start. But then we go on. And I remember Brother Solly Byler saying, when he was here for meetings one time, was actually over at the other church, and he said there is a lot of people in revival meetings at mega churches, you name it, they become Christians, but there's nobody there to teach them how to stay a Christian. And that's really important. And so if we're relating to somebody, we're out on the job and someone comes and they say they're a Christian, and they're doing something that is contrary to the Word of God, is against the Bible teaching, well then we have a responsibility to open our Bible and say, what about this? Because you're a Christian. You're claiming to be a Christian. How are you following Jesus? It says in 1 John that to try the spirits, whether they be of God. It says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we take the whole picture together. And so for someone who says they're a Christian but isn't following the Bible, then it's our privilege and responsibility to explain the Word of God and to help them. And the Word of God is that we're able to explain it. We're able to understand it. And everybody can understand it as they search. They may be at a different place in their Christian walk than we are, but as long as they're open, God will bring them along. And then when they're not willing to follow anymore, then they put up a wall. Also in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, this is Christ's burden again. He says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? That could possibly be for someone who was, wouldn't just be, but for someone who was in the sheepfold and then left. And there's a burden and responsibility to seek the ones that are lost. Luke chapter 19, it's an interesting story of Zacchaeus. It's one we've heard from little up, of a man that was seeking, and he found Jesus. I'm going to read this story. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And we have to remember, the publicans were a despised people because they represented the Romans in the tax collection, and they were corrupt. But they had power. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, They all murmured, saying that he has gone to be with a guest, with a man that is a sinner. It goes on, Zacchaeus wanted to make these things right. He wanted to return to the people he stole from. But Jesus had a greater gift for him. He said in verse 9, "This day has salvation come into this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And so as we follow God, that's what we're here for too, is we want to seek and save those who are lost. Show them a way that brings peace and joy and happiness. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them a warning from me." And I thought this was such an interesting passage. I read this passage years ago in a personal devotions, and it's always stuck with me. This was to a prophet, and it was talking of the children of Israel. I think it's very fitting for our day too, for us to apply it over. Verse 18, he says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but that his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, when there's a man who is a righteous man, who is, let's say, a brother in the church, and he, verse 20, "When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." Let's think about that last phrase there, "thou hast delivered thy soul." There's a responsibility to point out sin, but we can never do it with the wrong spirit, or a spirit of pride, a spirit that we're better than the other person. We do it because we serve a righteous God who loves everybody. But along with that love, he does judge righteously, and we can't get away from that. We don't want to get away from that. All of us, every person on the earth, will face a righteous judge one day. So it gives a spirit of helping each other along. It also does away with the idea that if we do some good, then we can get by with some bad. And you don't have to go far in talking to people to run into that. And it goes to that thing of making God our servant instead of our Savior. And it's something that we need to be careful about too. I'm talking to myself. We can't do enough good to do some bad and get by. Then going to the end of, toward the end of Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 7, and same thought here. "So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn away from it, to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. And there again that phrase, thou hast delivered thy soul. I remember years ago, I was with Dan Weaver. We were at a dealership where we bought equipment. And we were in there, and they had a bad reputation. And they started talking with the filthy talk that goes on. And Dan just turned around and walked away. I was young, and I went with him. And pretty soon the fella, and I might not remember it exactly right, but pretty soon the fella came out there. He said, I went down to, or this might have been earlier in the conversation, but he said, I had just gone down to North Carolina and sold a piece of machinery to, I believe it was Arnold Hooley. And he said, I started talking that way in front of him, and he just turned around and walked away. He didn't say anything to him. He said, I don't believe he liked that. He said, I don't believe y'all do either. And then Dan went ahead and talked to him. He didn't say a lot, but he explained. He gave him some reasons why. And that was, I've thought about that a lot since. That was a good way to handle that. You know, you could, if you come out and try to straighten him out, it's probably not going to work. But on the other hand, we sure don't want to let people think that we go for that kind of talk either. And the man, he picked up on that pretty quick. It doesn't come natural for me to speak a word for Christ. It helps me to study about the left hand and the right hand, what Jesus talked in Matthew about the sheep and the goats and how serious it is. Helps me to study what Christ went through. There's no need to be afraid. We have a Bible we're following that has the answers, and we don't ever want to apologize for that. There's a lot of people that when it's done, they say, you're probably right, but that's not the way I believe. And God will work with that. And that follows back what it's saying in Ezekiel, that, you know, if you warn and if you talk with a heart of love, then hopefully, if not at that time, but down the road, it'll make a difference. We've worked, and I've probably told this story before, we worked with another man that would come to the job, and he was good-natured, but he made fun of the way we were. I mean, it wasn't any harm to us. He shouldn't have been doing that because of a righteous God. But he told us, he said, I used to work with some Mennonites in Farmville. And he said, what really made an impression to me was one day one of them stood up under a scaffold and hit his head. He said he hit his head really hard. And he didn't use any swear words. And he said, that's when he knew that there was something there. And so part of our evangelism is a close walk with God. But we can use that for a crutch and not talk. Say we just want people to see how we live. There's a balance there. It's nothing. There's no profit for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 33 said, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. It's interesting, going on above this, he talks about a brother with a weak conscience. Verse 25, he says, Whatever is sold in the shambles, or I think another word for that would be market, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And it was the custom for a heathen priest, the sacrifices that came in, he would go sell those, he would go sell the meat at the market. And Paul was saying, you know, it's meat. He said, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Then verse 27, he says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for the conscience, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not of thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? And he goes on and says, there's nothing wrong with eating that meat. But he was willing to not eat the meat. What am I willing to do for my brother or for God? And then, you know, it just continues on where, and then he ends up with verse 33, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And we, Paul understood too in working with the Jews, in going to Jerusalem with the things that were important with the Jews, he went along with things to try to help his brethren that weren't necessary to do. So it's not about us when we evangelize. It's not about us when we share the word of God. We do what we can to help all men. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but unto the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I'm glad verse 23 is there. I think that adds some clarity to the picture of what he's saying. I don't know if I fully understand this passage yet. He says, to the weak I became weak. I wonder if that refers over later on where he's talking about a brother's weak conscience and not doing anything to offend that. But he says, I do this for the gospel's sake. He wasn't doing this for a popularity contest. He was doing this for the gospel's sake. And if what we do is for the gospel's sake, that's rather than our own preference, that's a good guide to go by. Verse 26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that was also very good guidance for an evangelist, because there is a lot of harm done for when these megachurch preachers have a scandal, and it seems like it happens with the lifestyle and what all goes with it. People talk about it. I don't follow that stuff, but I hear about it. So if we're going to be an ambassador for God, then our personal life needs to have a close walk with God ourselves. And we can use that as a crutch too, that I have too many struggles to be an effective ambassador. We're always going to have room for growth. But as we stay close to God and realize what he's done for us, we'll always have a story to tell too. I'd like to turn back to Exodus 32 just briefly. This is the story of Moses interceding for children of Israel. And there's just a couple verses I'm going to read here. I'm going to read verse 12. Moses is talking to God. He says, "Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn away from thy fear with wrath and repent of this evil against thy people.'" Also, verse 32, he's telling, verse 31, I guess I'll start reading. "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, 'Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and they made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.' The Lord said unto Moses, 'Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of thy book.'" Moses' heart here was with his people, with the people he was called to leave. They were God's people. He mentions that in this passage. But he was willing to do anything he could to help them. And God said, "That won't work. Everyone's going to have to stand for what they've done." Paul also had that in let's see. I think I forgot to write that passage down. I think it's Romans 12, chapter 12. Must be chapter 11. I don't see it right here, but the point was, he said, If he could be a curse from God for his brethren's sake. And it was the same attitude that Moses had. And that wasn't possible for Paul to do that. But it did show what was in his heart. There was only one sacrifice that would do that. Also, in 1 Kings chapter 15, this is more on the thought of praying for our children, our families, having a close personal walk with God. First Kings 15:1, "And in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. Three years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem." I believe he was David's great-great-grandson. And he was a wicked man who was a wicked king. Said his heart wasn't perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake. Let's remember to pray for each other. It does make a difference. Intercessory prayer. If we have godly parents and we're living in sin and we're counting on our parents' prayer to hold us through for some time, we're treading on thin ice. Because God could take us at any time. But the Bible has examples of people who were spared because of their father's sake. We need to be prayer warriors. Going back to Matthew chapter 18. Cur- Christ came to seek and save those that are lost. Going back to verse 12 again. Man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray. Doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And God sent his Son to save the lost. There is, going on then to Matthew 25. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate one from another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And if we're doing it for God, it's not going to be the foremost thing in our mind. If we're doing it for personal prestige, to be able to say what we do, talking to people, we're probably going to remember. I think this passage brings that out. It was a way of walk for them. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that when you did it to those, to the least of these, my brethren, or when you did it when you had opportunity, you were doing it to me. So let's look through the week. Let's look for opportunities to be an ambassador and to spread God's word. Let's kneel in prayer.